What's it mean to make God in your own image? That's what I want to talk about today, so stay tuned. What's up, everybody? This is Josh from Practical Theism. You know, I was in a conversation once discussing God and, you know, big surprise, talking about religion and faith and the existence of the universe, discussing very nicely the defenses for the first cause, and we naturally get into semantics regarding the nature of God. Interestingly enough, the objection was posed that theists just assign attributes about God that just fit whatever they want to believe about God. You know, this struck me as odd, so I inquired as to why they would think that. You know, what would make them say that? They said that when you see a dilemma, you just assign an attribute to God that somehow solves the dilemma for you, effectively making God into whatever you want him to be. You see, this objection is not a new one, and it is a pitfall that I think a lot of Christians fall into. It's this idea of making God into our own image, making him into something that justifies our problems rather than solving our problems. We put God in a box, our box, that no one might be able to understand except us. You see, the problem with that objection is that it goes against what classical theism deduces about God. The first thing that you have to understand about God is that you will never understand God. We can deduce things about God based on creation and the natural order, but we will never fully have him figured out. As St. Augustine so blithely put it, the moment you think you have God figured out, throw it out. Now, back to the objection. You know, Anne Lamott once said, you can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. I think it cuts to the heart of this idea. You know, this also follows the model of the acronym SPAG, which stands for Self-Projection as God. And this is not a new idea or concept. Ludwig Feuerbach came up with the simple conclusion in the 1800s that God is a psychological projection, that human beings first come to a self-knowledge of their ideal traits, and they project them onto a deity. So I posed the question, naturally, if I really wanted to stand up for a God that I was making into my own image, why would I follow the Christian version of God? And also, why do so many assent to this Christian God affirming the same ideal traits? Where do those stem from? There are all of these moral demands in the Christian faith that require a response on my part that will do anything but justify myself, trust me. So you see, the SPAG model follows a really simple short formula. It goes like this. 1, believe that X is immoral. 2, God is moral, or morality comes from God. 3, God can't possibly support X. It is a way to justify anything in life, and religious people do it, don't get me wrong. If I wanted to assign attributes to God that fit my own version or perspective, though, why on earth would I say that God wants me to believe that a man named Jesus was his incarnate son? There are so many implications that come along with that, and to be honest, it would be much easier not to have that position to defend in modern discourse. So why would someone say that God hates sex outside the marriage union, and thereby impose this standard on oneself to not have sex before marriage when that is the normal thing to do in secular society? Why would one say that your thoughts of murdering someone are just as bad as committing the murder? I mean, if I think about it but don't act on it, I should be fine, right? Now, some of you might be thinking too, these things are just projections of your ideal self onto some deity. Right? The goal, if you will, of ultimate perfection that you are shooting for. But you see, I don't really buy that objection for two reasons. First off, if it is true, and I am just projecting this ideal self, so to speak, that has this moral perfection written in the very fabric of its DNA, where did that idea of what my ideal projection or my ideal self come from? Now, one could just say, it's cultural, Josh. It's societal. All the influences that are external around you have shaped you to believe what that morality is, right? And you learned that all growing up. It's been instilled in you. Well, maybe. But you see, that really does nothing to explain the brother who grew up in the hood, around gangs and guns, and chooses God as his path to pursue a fuller life. You see, somewhere in the DNA of his soul, that man knew that guns and gangs were bad, not good, because of the apparent evil he caused. The second reason I don't buy that is this. Why would I openly choose to follow a proposed deity that requires me to keep my life in order, to follow a rigorous moral demand? See, to not steal or cheat, even if stealing and cheating help me enhance my life for personal gains. More pointed, billions of people have claimed the same deity for millennia. And while there still may be some blind followers in the sea of believers, most people would not follow something that they didn't believe in or that didn't speak to them and make sense to them. You see, there is something in our DNA that is yearning for moral perfection. Even though we struggle to achieve it, we want it. We seek after it for what this desire for purity will give us, a fulfilled life, a life that makes a difference. You see, these moral codes, if you will, of fidelity, integrity, value for life, monogamy, focus of our time, attention, and talent on a specific thing that we think will produce success and fulfillment, these are written on the very heart of humans, on every human on earth. That is why I don't think God is just some fantastic projection of my ideal self, because I cannot desire that which I don't already know, and that desire has to come from somewhere. And I would suggest that the place that desire for goodness comes from is the creator that we would say is goodness itself. And we all, even atheists, have to be aware of confirmation bias, right? It's this idea of accepting things that just fit our preconceived notions, the things that we've always grown up to be. We fit them into that box. Everyone needs to be aware of that. They really do. And for the believers out there, we need to make sure that we are never putting God in a box or making him into our own image, but rather that we are constantly seeking his will and his image that we might be conformed to it. And if you haven't already, hit that like button, pound that subscribe button so you can get more of this awesome content. And from all of us here at Practical Theism, we'll catch you next time. Thanks.